Hallelujah.
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 Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise on tonight. Come on, we can do way better than that. This is for the Lord. Let's give God a hand clap of praise on tonight. Hallelujah. The Lord is worthy to be praised. We thank God for this opportunity just to be home with family. Hallelujah. It's been a while, and glad that the Lord opened up this door for us to be home. Amen. With pastor. Hallelujah. Cousin. Amen. And my brother. Amen. All wrapped up in one, and all of my family that is here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for all of you. Amen. And all of the family that's here, the body of Christ. And amen. Brickyard Springs Community Worship Center. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That means a whole lot. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that means that this community, amen, is getting ready to be inhabited with the presence of God in an awesome and a fantastic and a marvelous way. And that people, amen, will start to get revived and awakened in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you all should be proud of that. Amen.
Amen.
Not pride as a chip on your shoulder, but amen, but just being happy that the Lord, amen, is giving you the opportunity to share his gospel in such a mighty way. Amen. In the community. Amen. In this area. Amen. In this state. Hallelujah. And all over the world. Hallelujah. And so you got to just be open to give God praise and give God the glory. Hallelujah. For all of the different things that the Lord has done inside of your life. Amen.
Amen.
And you just got to know that the Lord's going to do something big and something great and something fantastic and something marvelous on the inside of every last one of you on tonight. Hallelujah. I told Pastor Steve, I said, I'm not going to try and be long. And he said, well, we'll see what the Holy Spirit says. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to try to be long,
amen,
but I will try my best to be obedient.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To say what the Lord has called me to say.
Amen.
Amen. And in my mind, I have a jumble of thoughts that have to come into one, amen, direct revelation. And so let's run to the book of St. John on today. The book of St. John, chapter 5. St. John chapter 5. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And let's start at verse number 1. And when I get finished reading all the way down, amen, to verse number 9, then we're going to run to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, I believe, chapter 12, verse 29. Amen. And then we'll close out right there, and then go to our subject on today and see if we can tie all these things up together. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. St. John, chapter 5, starting at verse number 1, reads this way. I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water.
Yeah.
For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him alive and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I'm going to pause right there for a quick second. I want you to just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, have you been somewhere too long? I mean, don't say it like you really mean it. Just like you're concerned about them. Say, have you been somewhere too long?
And I'm going to get back to the scripture, but have you been depressed too long? Have you been lonely too long? Have you been bitter too long? Have you been angry too long? Have you been confused too long? Look, at Jesus realized they've been there too long. They're waiting for their turn. And no one helps them to get to their place. But when Jesus shows up, he realizes you've been waiting too long. Come on, somebody. And then verse number 7 says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And what? Took up his bed and walked on the same day, was the Sabbath. Come on, somebody. Somebody got to catch this on today. He walked on the same day as the Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. So that means he walked from his problem to his rest. Somebody got to catch that on tonight. Tonight, you about to walk away from your problem and start walking into your rest. Tonight, you're not gonna lay in your problem any longer. But today, you're going to walk in your what? Rest. Come on, somebody. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 29. Hallelujah. One verse. Last verse, I believe, of that chapter. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to just talk about for a quick second, if I may, and just see if I can get this thing as strictly and strong as possible. Amen. Not by my power, but by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, by God's authority on tonight. That God wants to tell you something on tonight. He wants to let you know that if you couldn't get in the pool, don't worry about it. Fire is coming. If you couldn't get in the pool, fire is coming. Amen. And really, if you pay close attention, even as we read it, everything really is just self-explanatory. There was a certain man who was lame for 38 years, who was at the right place, but didn't have proper help. Y'all catch what I'm saying? He was at the right place, but he did not have proper help. He was at the place of healing, but he did not have the ability to get there. He was at the place of deliverance, but he did not have the ability to get there. But can I say this? It not just having the ability, but he lost the persistence to put himself in position. He lost the persistence to put himself in position. That means if you know at a certain season the angel would come and stir up the waters, and even though I might not see the angel, I can see the stir. Somebody got to catch this on today. Every now and then, y'all, sometimes we're looking for a person, but we need to be looking for his presence. Come on, somebody. Sometimes, y'all, we're looking for people to make a way. We're looking for people to bring me through. We're looking for people, amen, to open up doors for me. But guess what? In this day and age, you got to have more of a discerning heart to say, if I don't see a person, where is the presence? The Bible says the presence was in the what? Stirring of the water. That means in the place of the pool, there was a bubbling in the water that says healing is already here. I'm wondering on tonight, Brickyard Springs, how many of y'all can feel the presence when you don't see nobody in person? How many of y'all can feel God's ability moving when the preacher's not even up in the pulpit? But even though the word is not coming out from a mouth, his presence is filling, hallelujah, the atmosphere, letting you know that he is here. Amen. And when you know he is here, you do what? You take what? The opportunity and the initiative to jump into the atmosphere. Amen. Y'all got to catch this on today. Look here, a revival is not about a person. A revival is about the presence. And so when we come to revival, we're looking for the preacher. But baby, you don't need the preacher when you come to revival. You just need the presence. Because when the presence starts showing up, hallelujah, even the preacher's got to sit down. Y'all got to catch what I'm saying. In other words, when the presence shows up, when God says, I'm here, it doesn't take a person to lead you. It just takes you recognizing the atmosphere. Amen.
When I recognize the atmosphere of God, and I kind of feel I'm in that atmosphere of God right here on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm in a place, hallelujah, that hallelujah, if we would just, even if we just stop praising God for a minute and lift up our hands and start to worship God, you will start to feel the presence of God even more, even more, even more, moving inside of your heart, telling you some of the stuff, amen, that you've been fighting to get away from. And God says, no, no, you ain't got to worry about it, because tonight you're about to get your freedom. Hallelujah. Tonight you're about to get your breakthrough. The Holy Spirit's about to speak to you. It's about to move on the inside of your heart and let you know, hallelujah, that problem that you've been dealing with for the last 6 months is about to come to an end. And you say, well, wait a minute, the preacher didn't say it, but guess what? The presence of the Lord is here. And when God's presence is here, he speaks to the heart. He comforts the mind that everything is going to be all right. Those hellhounds that's been coming after you for the past 3 years is about to come to an end. Hallelujah. Court cases that have been dragging too long and wearing out money is about to come to an end. Hallelujah. You've been waiting for somebody. You've been waiting for the lawyer to call you. Come on, somebody. You've been waiting for somebody from the courthouse to get your attention. But guess what, baby? Guess what? You in the pool now. You in the atmosphere of Bethesda. When I looked it up and it said that word Bethesda, Bethesda, you know what Bethesda means? It means the place of mercy. That literally all of us right now is in a place of mercy. Come on, somebody. We're in a place of forgiveness. Come on, somebody. We are in a place, amen, that whatever's been holding us down, God says, no, 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 no. Today, I'm going to get that thing off of you. Matter of fact, you're in a place that even though you committed the crime, you've done the dirt. You opened your mouth when you should have kept it shut. Yeah. You put your hands on something that did not belong to you. God says, tonight, you're in the place of mercy. Yeah. You're in Bethesda. Yeah. Hallelujah. But the problem with Bethesda was, the first one gets it. Whoever can get to the water first. Now, Bethesda was a pool. It was an atmosphere. It was a big pool with five porches. A big pool with five porches. When I looked at it, it said the porches were covered. So just in case, even if it was bad weather, you could still get to the pool. Right. Come on, somebody. You might be going through a bad situation, but you can still get to the pool. Some of you got to stop letting doubt dictate when your deliverance shows up.
That's right. That's
come on, somebody. Some of y'all got to stop saying when the time is right. Baby, the time is right now.
Amen.
See, that man that was lame for 38 years, he was waiting for the right time. But every time he thought it was the right time, somebody stepped in front of him. And so he was looking for someone to help him. But when Jesus showed up, the presence of healing. It wasn't just a pool of healing. It was the presence of healing. Now imagine if Jesus talked to everybody at the same time. Imagine Jesus would have got up and they had a mic stand there. He said, hey, look here. Yeah, everybody who did not get in the pool, don't worry about it. Because the presence is here. Come on, somebody. See, y'all waiting for an angel. Hallelujah. But your answer is standing in front of you. Hallelujah. Y'all got to catch that right now. Y'all are waiting for an angel. Y'all waiting for a person. You waiting for somebody to step up and help you to make a way for you. But Jesus said, wait a minute. I'm already here. Stop looking for an individual. Stop looking for a specific man made out of flesh and blood. But let's find someone who's born of the Spirit and has a purpose and a power to deliver you. And on tonight, the Lord is trying to tell all of us, I'm here. I'm right here. I know what you've been through. I know what you've done. I know your sins. I know your calamities. Huh? If you look at the text, it said what? There were people that was there at the pool. They were what? Blind. Huh? Go back over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 says what type of people that were there. And verse number 3, it says, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and what? Willing. Come on, somebody. People who are weak and sickly and helpless. There was even people, amen, who would progress, but then something would hit them and they would halt, they would stop. Who in here right now that? You know, you're moving where God wanted you to go and then something hits you. A situation just smacked you right in the face. Come on, something somebody did or something you did, and then all of a sudden condemnation and guilt and confusion and man, your heart started getting with inconsistency, saying, I don't know if God can use me. I don't know if God can trust me. I don't know if I'm really able. Let me tell you this. Can I help somebody on today? This is not the time to leave the presence of God and go back to the streets.
Amen.
This is not a time to leave God's presence and go back into the world. One of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to divide you or remove you from your purpose. To subtract you from your deliverance. To remove you from your breakthrough. To make you feel as if I've messed up to such a degree that God can't use me, and maybe I need to pass up my opportunity and give it to somebody else and say, maybe this time I'll let somebody else jump in the pool until I'm ready. Baby, can I tell y'all something tonight? Nobody else got to get in front of you. You are still qualified, and you still got the credentials to be used by God, to be moved by God, to watch God do great things in your life. And even though you might have failed, God is still faithful and just to forgive you. How many of us have sinned this week, even in the midst of revival? And somebody said, well, I ain't cussed nobody out. But how are you still holding the grudge? How many of y'all walking in jealousy? Come on, somebody. How many of y'all walking in bitterness? Come on, somebody. We here on tonight lifting up holy hands, but I still got heaviness on my heart. I still got confusion on my mind. I still got doubts and messing up my decisions. Guess what? That's sin. Because sin helps you to miss the mark. Right. Sin makes you stop going forward. Sin makes you second guess your purpose.
That's it.
Sin gives you the thought that says, all this church stuff don't matter.
Yeah.
I'm coming here and stuff things still come my way. I thought when I come to Jesus, it gets better. Baby, it gets better because the better one is on the inside of you. Yeah. Your surroundings might not change, but your heart will change in the midst of your surroundings. And you'll get the revelation on how to walk out of something when the devil said all the doors are closed. God said, no, baby, all the doors are still open.
Yeah.
Because greater is he that is in you than is in the world. See, you got to have the mentality that even though I'm on the cross, I can still give a good word. Come on, somebody. Jesus is on the cross. Huh? Thorns in his hands. Thorns in his feet. Huh? Thorns in his wrists. Thorns in his ankles. I mean, you know, the nails. I said, nigga, thorns. And he got the crown of thorns on his head. Been pierced in the side. But even in all of that, he says, woman, here's your son. Son, here's your mother. Huh? Even on the cross, he says, truly this day, you will be with me in paradise. He can still give encouragement in a crucifying situation. And the main purpose of crucifixion, I think y'all know this already, is to supplicate. The main purpose of the of crucifixion is to supplicate so that you can't catch your breath. The devil has been hitting some of us left and right so that we can't catch our breath. But the one thing he made a mistake to do is the same thing they didn't do to Jesus. They didn't break his legs. Because breaking the legs is crucial in crucifixion. Because if they don't break the legs, you can still press up to get air. Y'all didn't catch what I just said. See, so some of y'all need to tell the Lord right now, thank you that my legs are still working.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord God. Some of y'all say, what do you mean by that? Thank you that I'm able to still press up to get some air. Come on, some of y'all realize you made it here on tonight not because you even wanted to be here, but because God called you here. God pushed you here. God made sure that you were pressed just a little bit more to catch some air, to be in the atmosphere of breakthrough, even though things around you is trying to crush you. You can't move your arms because you got nails in them. It's hard to think because you got thorns piercing into your mind. Your ankles can't move because you got nails in there. You can't turn because you've been pierced in your side. But yet God says, I'm still giving you the ability to press. To push. To desire. Some of y'all say, what do you mean by press? Desiring to get better. If the devil takes away your desire, come on somebody, you in a tough situation. The one thing about the man at the pool of Bethesda is that what? He still had a what? Desire. Who am
am I talking to you on tonight? How many of y'all still got a desire? How many of y'all still got a desire? In other words, how many of y'all still got an internal want to get better, to have better, to be better, to see God better, to live better, to move better, to walk, hallelujah, in better? And I'm just not talking about in stuff, but in your soul. And the devil's trying to bring you away from that. But hallelujah, you've been faithful by the moving of the Holy Spirit. Keep your desire. Church, you've got the desire of God more in this season like never before. Church, you've got to want God more than you want air. You've got to want God more than you want water. Come on, somebody. You've got to want God more than you want money. Come on, somebody. Because when this system fails, your dollar is gone.
We got financial folks in here. You know how much the dollar is right now. Hallelujah, and I'm just being a little bit over, you know, exaggerating, but it's only worth 10 cents. 3 more years, it'll be 2 cents. Come on, somebody. And after that, chaos. But what's the currency of the church? Faith.
Mm-hmm.
Man and a woman of God has to have faith. When you are always looking on what the world can give you, to make it, you are not walking in the kingdom of God. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Amen. But then the Bible says, He rewards them that does what? What pleases Him. So that means if you got faith, it gives God the motivation to make, because you're giving Him good pleasure, He will please you. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. You don't have money, but God makes sure every bill is paid. Come on, somebody. You don't have a job, but you've never been hungry. Hallelujah. A day in your life. Hallelujah. Because you keep walking in what? Faith. Forsaking all. I trust who? Him. Jesus is still at that pool. And he's talking to the man. I'm about to leave the pool in a minute because we done got enough of the pool. We know what's going on at the pool. Amen. It's a place of mercy. It's a place of mercy. It's a place of mercy. You know what mercy is, right? What I deserve, I don't get. See, that's mercy.
Yeah.
When you know you are wrong and you know you did wrong and you know you should get what you should be getting as a punishment because mercy steps in.
Yeah.
It doesn't give you what you deserve.
Yeah, that's it. Amen. Yeah. Mercy.
Mercy gives you what God destines for you.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Mercy gives you what God says. Even though you deserve it, I'm going to give you what I want you to have. Come on, somebody. Somebody got to hear this over here. How many of y'all can just testify that I still got mercy over my life? How many of y'all can say, even this week, I got, come on, I don't know about y'all. See, man, I feel like I could just do it right now. I know I got mercy.
Without a doubt.
I know. Without a shadow of a doubt, that the mercy of God is still on my life.
Amen.
And every now and then, y'all, I got to tell them why. I don't know about y'all, I got to tell them why. Why you see? Because guess what? It's not because mercy is on me because I'm good. And it's not even because mercy is on me because I know how to say I'm sorry. Come on, somebody. Mercy is applied because your destiny cannot be detained any longer by the devil.
Amen.
Y'all get to catch this one today. Mercy is applied so that your destiny will not be detained any longer by the devil. Somebody got to hear what I'm saying. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to be a little clear. Your destiny cannot be denied. No matter how much you've been running away from God, God is saying, I put mercy on your life so that you're not in jail, you're not in the hospital, you're not suffering from a disease. I got mercy on you because there's something I called you to do, even in your mother's womb. And because, hallelujah, my mercy is greater, hallelujah, than your defeat, I'm still calling you and I'm still pushing you and I'm still prodding you to step up into the atmosphere of your healing. What happens in the pool is too crowded. When the pool is too crowded, when you can't get by the pool, God said, I'm about to send fire. Did y'all catch what I just said? Look at, he said, if it looks like the altar got too many people, don't worry. I'm about to send fire to your address.
Because whatever I destined, I will keep a promise of it doing what I called it to do. So when we go back into the book of Hebrews, that 12th chapter, we don't have to go there, but you can go there if you want to. I just paraphrase it, I believe, starting from verse 25 all the way down. That God says, what I've got to do is, I made something that was in my will. I made something that was in my image. I made something that was in my purpose. That was all creation. And when I made creation, come on, we go back to Genesis, he says it was what? Good. The Bible says that he made everything, he said, well, it was what?
Good.
It reached all of God's specifications. It reached all of God's specifications. It is good. Somebody got to catch this for me. Did God not create you?
Amen.
Did God create you according to his specifications? And that means when he got finished with you, he said, what? You are what?
Good.
Come on, somebody. But what has happened by the time you said good to where you are today? Life gets you. Doubt got you. Pain got you. Lack got you. Loneliness got you. Sickness got you. Jealousy got you. Bitterness got you. And God did not create his creation to live that way. God did not create the earth to live that way. So in Hebrews chapter 12, going around verse 25, working down, he says, what I'm going to do is, I'm about to send a fire to burn away everything that is not of me and that man put in place of me. Y'all got to catch that for a minute. He says, in other words, you know, when we hear in the scriptures, he says, I'm going to give you a new heaven and a new earth. Guess what it is? He's taking the earth that he already created and let his fire come and remove any impurity that inhabited during that time. That God's going to send a fire to purify his creation. God's going to send a fire to refine, hallelujah, his vessel. God's going to send a fire that will take away all of the impurities. Another word for it is called the dross. Anything that makes it contaminate and is out of its full work. God said, I'm about to send a fire to remove that out of the way. Come on, somebody. So guess what? If you weren't able to get in the pool, don't worry. Because he made you a certain way. He gave you a specific purpose. Come on, somebody. He gave you a certain influence. He gave you a divine ability. But life has attacked you by Satan's hand. And doubt. I might say this stuff over and over again. And bitterness. And compromise. Has polluted your walk. But God says, don't worry. Because I am a what? Consuming fire.
Yes.
And I will burn away everything that does not bring my glory. Mm. You might have missed the pool. The fire is still coming.
Yes. Yes.
You might have missed the pool. Somebody else might have jumped in front of you, but don't worry about it. Today, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Today, God's going to move Bethesda over, amen, and make this a refining fire. Mm. He's going to make this place a furnace. Y'all got to catch this for today. Brickyard Springs, y'all got to realize that community worship center, you are now getting ready to become a furnace for God. But come on, the first furnace, amen. The first application of the furnace is not for the folks that's walking in. It's for the folks that's sitting in. There's a fire coming on some of you right now. Hallelujah. And so they're saying, well, you can feel it in your heart. And what's the fire saying? The fire speaks. Fire says tonight, hallelujah, your deliverance here. Tonight, your tomorrow will not be, amen. Your tomorrow is changing right now. The stuff, amen, that was overcoming you and dragging you down and making you feel defeated, it will not be applied any longer to your life. The voice of destruction, defeat, sickness, and pain is about to fall off of you. The fire is saying even unto you on tonight that your deliverance, hallelujah, is manifesting even right now. Matter of fact, hallelujah, by the time you get to your house, you will not be thinking, you won't be seeing things the same way. You won't be doing things the same way because God, hallelujah, made you a righteous vessel. And unrighteousness cannot live in you any longer. You have to walk in the beauty of holiness. You've got to walk, hallelujah, in the heart of love. You've got to walk, hallelujah, in the joy of thanksgiving. And there are some things, hallelujah, that even on tonight, hallelujah, you came into the house of God with a burden on your heart, with a pain in your soul, hallelujah, hallelujah, with trauma in your spirit. But God says, even on tonight, hallelujah, I'm removing those things. You will not carry those things, hallelujah, into the next day, hallelujah. But hallelujah, on tonight, I'm going to burn it away. I'm going to remove it from you. Why? Because he didn't create you to be humped over and bent over in pain. He called you at the end, just like he did creation. And he said, you are good. Can I just say that to somebody? You are good.
Amen.
And y'all just help me, I'm about to close in a minute. But just look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are good. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, look, can y'all just preach with me? Preach with me. Y'all help me preach a sermon. Say, neighbor, I know you're alive, but you are good. Come on, sir. I'm going to say, neighbor, I know you've been backbiting, but you are good. Come on. I know you've been gossiping, but you are good. Come on, somebody. Come on. I know you're bitter and you're angry because you're thinking, amen, you're being looked over. But don't worry. You are good. I know doubt, amen, is over your mind concerning your children. But don't worry about it. You and they are good. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to help me preach while y'all stopping. Hallelujah. Because your neighbor needs to hear. They need to realize, hallelujah, that they are what? Good. Share the water. Before the fire falls, share the water. Share the good news. The Bible says that as a husband, the husband is to wash his wife with the water of the word of God. In other words, turn her situation into a pool of mercy. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Turn the situation that your neighbor is dealing with into a pool of mercy. And let them know you're in the right atmosphere. You are in the right place. God sees you. God knows your tears. God knows, amen, your job, amen, is downsizing. And you're fearful of what you might not be working at tomorrow. But don't you worry, because you are good. God got good provision waiting for you. Be encouraged. Because guess what? Fire is coming. And it's falling even right now. I know I say that, and somebody say, I don't feel it. Baby, everything has to come by faith. The man who was at the pool for 38 years, he stayed there because of faith. Faith is about the knowledge of what you know God said he would do. Don't leave the pool, hallelujah, until you get the blessings of God's presence. Don't leave the atmosphere. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I'm saying, we've been doing a good ride, but I'm losing my joy. I'm losing my peace. No. Stay right there. Stay it all. Stay the atmosphere. Don't leave it. Don't leave it. Because guess what? If you don't get in the water, Jesus is about to show up. Yeah. So y'all strings is going high, but I'm going low. Don't worry about it. Because sometimes y'all servanthood don't mean you always get the blessing with everybody else.
That's right.
Sometimes I've got to serve in patience.
Yeah.
To receive the reward of
faith. Yeah.
And jealousy will creep in when I see other folks getting something that I thought was deserving of me.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. But just because you didn't get it means one thing. That wasn't for you. See, that means you spend too much time looking on how you want God to reward you than saying, God, reward me your way.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a word I just said. You were spending so much time talking about, I think God should do this for me, when God says, I've got something totally different from you.
Yeah.
Because the man at the pool thought he needed to get dropped in, but really he just needed to drop down. The man at the pool, he wanted something. He said, I've been waiting, I'm waiting for somebody to pick me up. And when you go with Jesus, he didn't pick him up. He said, rise.
Yes.
Take up your bed.
Yes.
The place you've been laying there too long. Get up.
Yeah.
Remove your presence from this problem. And go into your rest.
Did y'all catch what I just said?
Yeah.
Remove yourself
from the remove your presence from this problem.
Yes.
If the problem hasn't changed, then you need to move. Because God is trying to do something without your presence in the atmosphere. Y'all didn't hear that? If you heard what I said, just shout glory.
Glory.
That means sometimes, y'all, you got to understand how to shift.
Yeah.
I got to go from laying down to walking through. And I know where I used to be, but God's called me to go to a rest. We read it in the scripture. He said he took up his bed. And on the same day, he walked in the midst of the Sabbath. He walked into the rest of God. God has a rest for you. But you got to walk away from the problems. You got to walk away from the bickering. You got to walk away from the disappointment. You got to walk away from the anger. You got to walk away, can I say that one more time? The jealousy. If it's not you, that means it wasn't for you. Because you only saw it through the eyes of your flesh. See, let me tell y'all something. It's a sad thing to interpret God's revelation for you when it don't belong to you. Because if you step into something that God hasn't given you, you will not have the capacity to maintain it. See, it takes grace to go through life. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? I'll be married 31 years on May 15th. 31 years. 31 years. Do I love my wife? Yes. Have I ever stopped loving my wife? Yes. Let's just call it like it is. Was there a day that I didn't say it, but I said, Lord, I hope she finds somebody and she divorced me. But God did something different. He changed my wanting of divorce to a heart of desire. To stay in his will. And to love what he has commissioned me to have. Come on, somebody. I don't know if I told y'all this testimony one time. Over the years I've been here, but if I didn't, I'll say it to you one more time. Amen. There was a time when me and my wife was. Now, is this okay, y'all? Are y'all all right? I'm sorry. Is this okay? Can you grab hold of this? Is this all right? Amen. There was a time in the midst of this time that I stopped loving my wife. Amen. I stayed committed to my responsibility. And this is, and when I'm saying this, I'm not just talking about marriage, but I'm talking also of your work in the ministry. There was a day I didn't want to be married anymore, but I remember my responsibility. even though I did not want to be with her, I understood what God called me to do from the beginning. And not just for her, but for my children. And this is while I was pastor. This wasn't before pastor. This is while I was pastor. I'd get up, preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Pray for people. Do whatever. But then when I got home, I couldn't talk to my wife. When I got home, my wife would be upstairs. I would go downstairs. I had my little man cave. I just made him a man cave in my mind. Hallelujah. I had a chair. I had a couch. And I had a TV. And I would go down there and put in my food. Sit down there and eat. Amen. Almost. And I slept in the basement. Get up in the morning. Put on my clothes. Do whatever else. Take the kids to school, take care of my wife, whatever it may be. What am I trying to say? I stayed faithful to my duty even though I was dealing with doubt. I'm giving y'all a revelation of who am I talking to here today? Stay faithful to your duty even though you're dealing with doubt. Because remember one thing, if you can't get in the pool, fire comes. Now let me give you the quick revelation of what happened at the end. It was one night, probably after maybe, 4 to 6 months. I might be stretching too far, but between 4 to 6 months of not going upstairs to my wife, not talking to her, amen, but always being cordial in front of her, in front of the children, our children never knew we had a problem. Our children never knew me and my wife was desiring divorce from each other. Even though I knew about divorce, I said, Lord, I can't divorce her. She's going to have to divorce me. Because I knew what the word said. Absolutely. Even in my bitterness, I know what was better. Somebody got to catch it on today. Some of you all might be in your bitterness, but you still got to hold on to what's better. Don't let your bitterness turn you over to a reprobate mind of total disrespect of God's word and will in the mighty name of Jesus. You do not want the devils that God has been holding back on your behalf to be released because of your disobedience.
That's right.
Because their devils are not just coming for you, they're coming for your household.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're coming for your sons. They're coming for your daughters. They're coming for your grandbabies. And I never forget, one night, I was just getting ready to go, lay back on that couch. Huh? Got finished watching whatever that show was I watched all the time, and I was going to lay down the couch, and the Lord said this, fire fell. He said, get up and go to bed. He said, get up, go upstairs, and get in your bed. Simple instructions, divine deliverance. From that day forward, I've been in love with my wife. Through the thick, through the thin, through the highs, through the lows, even more. Might still be tough, but I'm going to take that tough with her. Because God called it for the end. Amen. Break out springs. I know I'm talking to some of y'all. Some of y'all get a revelation on marriage. Amen. But if some of you need to get a revelation, amen, of brilliant. Just because a season of hardship comes doesn't mean you throw in the towel. You've got to be determined. See, if God called you into something, I've got to catch this. If God called you into something, He's called you to be obedient.
Amen.
Huh? God has called us all. When you desire marriage, He called you to marriage. Come on, somebody. But I don't know why I'm talking today, but y'all know why. He's calling those who've been called to this ministry to stick it out in a righteous manner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when I first got this revelation, this message, I was thinking about his anniversary. I was thinking about pastor. I was thinking about a man of God. But God gave me this revelation real quickly. He said, Stephen has already been healed in the waters. The porch is not for the pastor. The porch is for you. Y'all got to hear this on today. The porch is not for the pastor. He's been healed. He suffered a loss, but because he stayed in position, he could have left. Do you know when you first leave a thing? You don't leave it mentally. You leave it physically. You leave it mentally. And that's when you start to feel your mind separated from God's purpose. You cry out, God, give me the strength to stay. Let my feet and my mind stay planted so that my physical feet won't move. And God has honored him. But today he's saying, break out springs, whoever may be, where are you? Hold on, stay in the place. I don't know who was getting ready to say, I'm leaving after the anniversary. Can I tell you something? The Lord is telling you, that was your flesh. That was your flesh. Had nothing to do with what's going on here. That's because things are not going the way you want. I hate to say this, but God made the heavens and the earth, not you and not I. And God called the church into existence, not you and not I. And we have to be obedient,
yes,
to what God has called us to be. Hallelujah. Because even when the church gets dirty, God will send fire to clean it.
Amen.
Yes.
Our arguments don't clean the church.
Yes.
Our disagreements don't clean the church. Huh? Our gossiping, amen, and getting angry and causing coups and getting on the phone and telling folks, amen, this and getting on that and spreading lies. That does not change the church. What changes the church is the presence of the fire of the Father, amen, who sits on high and looks down low and can transform anything that he creates.
Yes.
Yes.
He has created me. He has created you. He has created this. And that's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And in all thy ways, even in your bitterness, even in your doubt, even in your jealousy, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So don't worry about the food. Fire is coming. And he's bringing you back where you need to be. And he's bringing people back to where they need to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And some folks get jealous because now new people come in and you feel outdated. You feel that you're not important anymore.
Pastor don't call me like he used to. Now he got these new people, and he got these people that, and you start getting jealous because they're getting up in the face of the pastor. Let me tell y'all something. If you get jealous of people getting in the face of the pastor, you should be getting more in the face of God.
Yeah.
You should be getting more in God's face. Because if God's not permitting you to get into the face of the man, he wants you to get back in his face. God is jealous.
That's right.
So he's removed you from the presence of the man so that you can get back to the presence of the Father.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
So that when you leave the presence of the Father, you can be a blessing to the man of God. You're not our David. Huh? You just need some refinement. You're not our David. You're not moved out of the way. You just need some refinement. You just need to spend some more time with God so that you come back to a certain position, to a certain situation. Amen. You're walking in the character, power, and provision, amen, of God in that situation.
Amen.
And you have a confidence in God that will blow the world's mind.
Hallelujah.
Because fire, if it refines you, it matures you.
Yeah.
That means the stuff that usually we used to get on your nerves don't even hinder you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that stuff been burned away. And I'm walking in the peace of God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 I'm finished.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, get God praise, y'all. Come on, get God praise, y'all. Come on, give God praise, y'all. Come on, give God praise, y'all.